Rex on the next generation of KGO. 810.
All right. I'm telling you, we're swamped with this, and I really didn't expect it because, we've been inundated, and justifiably so, the greatest, most popular man probably on the planet Earth in our generation, Mr. Muhammad Ali, who passed away sadly at the age of 74 on Friday night with his family. So one of the things that consequently has happened over the weekend, people like Piers Morgan started tweeting things out like Ali said more inflammatory and racist things about white people than Donald Trump has ever said about Muslims. And, he's been dodging that bullet. Here's a clip from him, I don't know, somewhat trying to backtrack on this.
His preferred world is segregated. Black people living with black people, white people living with white people, and so on. Incredibly controversial. I mean, if he said it now, it'd be a very different reaction to when he said it at the time. He evolved, didn't he, Ali, over the years from that person to the guy that he became, I think, in latter life.
Okay. The last caller before I went to the news break asked me to find out what year this was from the BBC. It was 1971. All right, to the phones we go, 808-0810, and then I'm going to play the interview for you. That's 3 minutes long. So stand by. You're going to hear it. Michael from San Francisco.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I agree with the champ. 1971, gosh, I just graduated. And, the champ is right. Birds of a feather stick together, basically. I have a six-year-old daughter, and even now I teach her and I demand that someday she will marry. She will only marry. Well, she can marry anyone she wants as long as they're Chinese. And I'm American-born, and I agree with the champ that the races can work together, be great friends, support each other. But when it comes down, it's the freedom, the liberty of choice that we have in this country that I prefer to be with my own kind on a marriage level.
Okay, but that's not your daughter's choice. Then it's your choice. Who are you to speak for your daughter?
Because she is my daughter, and I know that if she marries out and has to contend with all the other conflicts of other cultures, she will not be happy. I got the same thing from my father and mother. I'm the only son, firstborn.
Would you disown her if she married a white guy?
No,
or a black guy?
I would not disown.
Oh,
I'm just trying
what
to say
that?
If listen, hang on, listen to that. Listen, if she did that, then I didn't do my job from the very beginning. My job with her from birth has been to be focused and to be hard about this so that later on I can loosen up.
I think your job is to love her and support her in whatever love brings
I
and
do.
Whatever love means to her.
No, we're not. That's not the Chinese way. I'm Chinese. I'm American born. I graduated from Cal. We call Berkeley UC Chinatown because we can make it in. We're competitive.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. I don't. I call it UC Berkeley. But 808-0810. He's entitled to his opinion. And by the way, that's fine. That's his life, and that's what his daughter has to put up with. Okay? 415-808-0810. Why are people going crazy about this if you're just joining me? Because Piers Morgan defended himself after tweeting that Muhammad Ali said more racist things than Donald Trump from a 1971 BBC interview. It's 3 minutes long. Here it is.
Ask me who I most enjoyed interviewing. I'm unable to give them an answer. If they ask me who was the most remarkable man I ever met, I answer without hesitation, Muhammad Ali.
People to move in the neighborhoods, but clean their own neighborhoods. And another thing, when you say integration, it comes under intermarriage too, right? All
right,
been together.
Right, sure.
And I'm sure no intelligent white person watching this show, no intelligent white man in his or her right white mind want black boys and black girls marrying their white sons and daughters and in return introducing their grandchildren as half-brown, kinky-haired black people.
I wouldn't object to that.
Well, you wouldn't, but a lot of them would.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people would.
What I'm trying to say is this. And you don't have it. You say you don't, but you don't have it. You really ain't going to have it. You're on the show, and you got to say that.
No, that's not true.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I don't think I'm any different from you, you see.
Yeah, we much different.
That's, I mean, I think society's made us different.
You know we're different. We're all together.
But society's made us different.
No, not society. God made us different.
No, we're just human beings. He made all of us.
We all, listen, blue birds fly with blue birds. Red birds want to be with red birds. Listen. Tell me when I'm wrong. Pigeons want to be with pigeons.
But
tell me
when
I'm wrong.
Well, we should have.
They don't have intelligence, but yet they stay together. We should have more intelligence than them, right? Buzzards are with buzzards. Buzzards are with buzzards. Bluebirds are with bluebirds. They all are birds, but they got different cultures. The eagles like to hang out in the mountains. The buzzards like to fly around the desert.
Well,
the bluebird like to fly around the trees and the grass.
There'd be certain problems, a buzzard mating with a sparrow, wouldn't there?
What?
There'd be certain...
We have the problems, too. I don't see no black and white couples in England or America walking around proud holding their children.
That's because society...
And going out.
That's society's fault. We've got to educate people around it.
Well, life is too short for me to be raised catching hell for something like that. I'd rather go and be my own. I have a beautiful daughter, beautiful wife. They look like me. We're all happy, and I don't have no trouble. And I ain't that much in love with no woman to go through all that hell. Ain't no one woman that good. You understand?
I understand, yeah. I do understand. I understand. I think it's sad that
it ain't sad because I want my child to look like me. Every intelligent person wants his child to look like him. I'm sad because I want to blot out my race and lose my beautiful identity. Chinese love Chinese. They love the little slanted-eyed, pretty brown-skinned babies. Pakistanis love their culture. Jewish people love their culture. A lot of Catholics don't want to marry number of Catholics. They want the religion to stay the same. Who want to spot up yourself and kill your race? You're a hater of your people if you don't want to stay who you are. You shame what God made you. God didn't make no mistake when he made us all like we were.
I think that's a philosophy of despair.
Despair.
I really do.
It ain't no despair. Yeah? Number one, can't no woman. Let me tell you something. I want to tell you. Listen, no woman on this whole earth, not even a black woman in Muslim countries, can please me and cook for me and socialize and talk to me like my American black woman. No woman, at last, is a white woman. Can really identify with me and my feelings and the way I act and the way I talk. And you can't take no Chinese man and give him no Puerto Rican woman and holler about we're in love and you're emotionally in love and physically, but really they're not happy because she's going to hear some Puerto Rican music, he's going to hear some Chinese music. And they're going to be clashing all the time. It's just nature. You can do what you want, but it's nature to want to be with your own. I want to be with my own. I love my people. That's all. I don't hate my.
And on the end of this YouTube, it says, Muhammad Ali the greatest or the racist? 808-0810. Piers Morgan got himself in a whole hell of a lot of hot water over the weekend. Let's stop this. You can pot that down. Okay, let's take some calls. 808-0810. If you're outside of the area code, outside of San Francisco, anywhere on the North American West Coast, it's area code 415-808-0810. And we'll start with, Michelle in Santa Cruz. Good evening. Thank you for holding. You're on KGO.
Hi. I just want to say, first of all, that you're getting into the weeds here, but it's a stimulating conversation. Piers Morgan does not know history. He does not know that the time of that interview, it's just around the time of Loving versus Virginia. Remember that case?
Yes.
People were still being lynched. People, there were still whites only and colored signs in America. African Americans, for the most part, in America still could not vote. Piers Morgan forgets all of that. And the interviewer himself is talking about the philosophy of despair. He's not understanding the despair that people of color were actually living under every single day as a course of life. If white people had to live in the same atmosphere as African Americans do, they would kill themselves because it's absolutely difficult today in this world. Look at the problems that an educated, decent, married, good, upstanding citizen, the president, is catching just by being a good, decent person. It's really hard. And for Piers Morgan to say that proves that he has no clue about what he was talking about.
And Michelle, what did you think about my first caller, the gentleman who was identified himself as Chinese and said his daughter will only marry Chinese?
I think he's a little outdated, and if he's saying that, it means that he's going through a lot of extra trouble to make sure that it happens. And what happens when you put a piece of forbidden fruit? Do not press this red button. His daughter is probably going to go and marry the most darkest-skinned lesbian woman that she could find, and that would just make his head explode. Just because he's like trying to program something against nature, you don't know. You can't control who you fall in love with. You can't.
That's right. Thank you very much. 808-0810. Fantastic call. 415-808-0810. You don't have to agree with her. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with Muhammad Ali. You have your say. 415-808-0810 as we continue on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. With a look at traffic, here is Lee Graham.
KGO 810 traffic.
Thank you, Drex. We're going to Santa Cruz.
And now up the ramp, the actual cauldron is atop that trellis-like structure.
They got Janet Evans, a great swimmer, to run up the steps. And the way they, you know, orchestrated it was, you know, no one knew that I knew of. And he sort of popped out, you know, from behind almost a magic curtain, and here was, you know, our greatest sporting hero, in my opinion at least, now lighting the flame for us.
Muhammad Ali, of course, an Olympian, as young Cassius Clay, gold medal boxer, 1960, the Games of Rome.
It didn't matter that his hand was shaken just a little bit. That flame represented the hopes and the dreams of all Americans, placed on the guy who deserves the title the greatest. It was perfectly fitting that he would light that last flame for the American Olympics.
Look at him. Still a great, great presence. Still exuding nobility and stature. And the response he evokes is part affection, part excitement, but especially respect.
And if you were like me and probably millions of people over the weekend, you watched that video on YouTube and cried. How could you not? How could you not? How could you not? And then there's always the ugly. Piers Morgan tweeting, Ali said far more inflammatory and racist things about white people than Donald Trump ever said about Muslims. Look, he did, but I mean, it was back. I don't know how racist it was, but it was, you know, I just played the 3-minute interview, and he basically saying whites belong with whites and blacks belong with, well, you know, blacks and Chinese belong with Chinese and redbirds belong with redbirds and all of that. But it was a different time and it was a different day, as one of our great callers said, and we've had so many great calls on this. It is controversial, but it was 1971. And look at this. Here we are 100 years later, and we're still arguing about these things. Let me see here. We will start with Cedric in Castro Valley. Good evening. Thank you for listening to KGO.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, I called in. I was parking my car, and I heard this going on, and I'm thinking, listening to what Ali was saying, I'm thinking, that was my father at that time. I was about 8 years old, and my father, we're from Birmingham, Alabama, moved to California. He left Birmingham because he was not going to have his son raised with the hatred and the demeaning way that they would treat young black men. And he was just gotten fed up with things. So in that period, 1971, that was just the movement of, you know, the Black Power movement. Black is beautiful. My father had us going to the Afro-American Center in Los Angeles, so we learned our black history and know that we mattered and that we counted and that we're beautiful and we're not ugly. And that's the context of Ali with that. You got to love yourself. You got to love who you are. Love that black woman. Don't covet the white woman because she's put up there as the beauty that you judge everything by. Have someone that looks like you. So that was just a thing that you needed to do to love yourself so you could become better, so you could hit your potential. My father also joined the black Muslims right about that time in the 70s, which was very confusing for my brothers and I, because up to that point we had never heard this thing about white people are devils. And he was trying to drum that into us. We really resisted it. We really, really resisted it. Loved my dad, respected my dad. But when he said that sort of thing, he was just flat out wrong. So Morgan, he's taking this out of context. He's taking it in the vacuum. He's taking it to somebody who didn't take the time to understand that time period and what it was to be a black man from the South, thinking that you have proven yourself, thinking that you should have accolades for what you've accomplished, and then you find out it didn't mean a thing. You're still a boy.
Thank you, Cedric. I appreciate the call.
No matter what you think of Mr. Muhammad Ali's religion, you certainly have to admire his courage.
Bounce him up the ropes. Dance him, stick it. Beat him all night. Time out by 7 rounds. You're going to be so game in 7 rounds. Time out.
Bring him on.
Get my legs ready. I'll be dancing all night. Dance is heavyweight a long time.
Never again say that I'm going to be defeated. Never again. That make me the underdog until I'm about 50 years old. Right. Then you might get me. A soldier!
Well, I wouldn't want to do too much bragging about it, but everybody that watches me fight or everybody that has witnessed one of my bouts, they say that I am the greatest that they've ever seen.
I'm ready to back up everything I'm saying, and I'm through talking.
I don't think that there's no heavyweight alive who couldn't beat me. I know there are none alive.
You my opponent on equality. You won't even stand up for me in America for my religious beliefs, and you want me to go somewhere and fight, but you won't even stand up for me here at home.
Champion of the whole world. That's how big then. So I kept working until I did it.
I'm going to whoop George Foreman, and I'm going to whoop him of all places in Africa, in the Congo, where the Lumumba boys are. Stop fighting your home territory. You couldn't be any happier the way this is coming up in September.
How would you call Africa my home territory?
You've been telling me that for 10 years.
That's right, and if you come over there talking like that, we'll cook you.
Back to the Drex Radio Show.
Drex Radio Show.
Tonight on Jailbirds, please interview a parent that may crack the case.
So, did you see the murder?
I don't know.
Listen, I know you're no stool pigeon, but you tell me you can't remember anything?
Maybe I saw something. Maybe $20 will jog my memory.
Oh, boy. All right, here you go.
It was Bill.
That's tonight on Jailbirds. All right, this is an incredible story. We're going to lighten things up now, late night, late show wrap up. Okay, I had an African gray parrot. I love this thing, but, well, it would bite me, but, you know, it's a parrot. But they repeat everything you say. And when you're yourself, by yourself, you don't always want them saying the things that you say when you're alone. Or when you're with someone else. And let me tell you how, you know, they're one of the smartest birds on the planet, African grays, and they know what they're doing. So they'll keep key phrases in their mind, and they'll continue to repeat them.
Such as?
Oh, I'll get to that, because this story's about a murder, so we'll get to the siblings. But it's a long time ago, all right? So it's a long, long time ago. There's an African gray parrot in Michigan, apparently witnessed a murder years ago, and keeps repeating the last thing he heard the victim say. In fact, he repeats the whole argument between the victim and his wife and goes back and forth mimicking their voices, which is really creepy, all right? The victim was a 45-year-old man. I won't say the name. He died, and cops think his wife did it as part of a botched murder-suicide. And she survived a gunshot wound to the head. But listen to the parrot.
Wow.
Okay. Local news played the tape of the parrot to a pet store owner, and she could tell right away it was the parrot actually repeating an argument.
It's definitely an argument between a man and a woman.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Don't effing shoot. In my mind, it's something that he's heard, definitely heard before.
Okay.
But could he have heard it the day that the shot was fired?
Sure. Sure, absolutely. And, and if it's fresh in his mind, he might even say it more now.
Yeah, don't effing shoot. Isn't that weird? It's really freaky. So, this guy's first wife talks about the parrot repeating the argument.
This is Bud. He'll be 20 here in September. Yeah. Boy. And that's Marty's voice. That's Marty used to always say that to my kids. It's intense when it happens. My house turns cold. He was there to see it all, and he heard it. It imprinted in his brain. He can't let it go. And that's awful.
Is it at all possible that he could have heard it on television?
Well, maybe, but he's using Marty's voice. I mean, I don't think he would be able to help the case, but I think it puts the emotion out there. Like, you know, there's a dead man.
I'm going to tell you something. That bird, it was trauma. Just like you and I experienced trauma, that was trauma. And the bird's repeating it. Now, on a lighter note, my African gray. This is a fun story. It's embarrassing. So I have had a basset hound. I have one now. Her name was Zuli. But the parrot would like to bite the tail of the basset hound. So the parrot, the African gray, would throw stuff off of her cage because it would walk around on the outside of his cage. Throw stuff onto the ground, wait for the dog to walk by, and then bite the hell out of its tail. And then the other thing is I used to say to Zuli, does she got a piss? She's got to piss. So then I've had this bird for a couple months. Every time the dog would walk past the back window to the French doors, the parrot's going, she's got a piss. She's got a piss. And this... Till I would open the door. So then the dog would absolutely go to the door because even if I'm asleep, the bird would start screaming.
Oh,
she's
man.
Standing at the door. Now the dog caught on to the biting of the tail thing, all right? So the dog is smarter than you think, too. But, you know, the dog would then want to wake me up, so the dog would walk over to the door so the bird starts screaming, she's got a piss! She's got a piss!
You didn't put, like, a sheet over the cage or anything?
Yes, you did at night. Yeah. But I just... And then I'll tell you something really embarrassing. Okay. So apparently, back in the days, there was a half bathroom not too far away from the parrot. And apparently when I would use the toilet... I would say, oh, Lord. This is the truth, people. So when anyone would go into the bathroom, the bird would start going, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Look out. The tsunami is coming.
I was having a little bit too much fiber back then. Yeah, so.
What ended up happening to this parrot?
I gave it away. Yeah, I gave it away because, you know, they live 50, 60, 80 years. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I gave it to a bird lady. Yeah.
So there's a parrot out there that sounds like Drex.
Yes, I was probably still screaming, she's got a piss. And if the poor lady goes to the bathroom, probably gets an old lord. Anybody that goes to the bathroom. People used to come over to me and they're like, why does that bird say, oh, Lord, every time it goes to the, you know. People didn't believe that she's got a piss thing, but how embarrassing. All right.
Parrots obsessed with a bathroom.
Well, no, they just repeat, you know, and of course they would say dumb poop. That Drex would say, and I happen to say a lot of dumb things. I want to talk a little bit about Richard Simmons. So Richard Simmons was hospitalized Friday night. Is this a 5150? Is that what you call it in California?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thought so. So someone called 911 saying he was acting strangely. Paramedics showed up to evaluate him and decided he needed to go. So Richard was released Saturday, and he told TMZ that he's fine, just like he's been telling everybody he's fine anyway. All right. He was just dehydrated. He's 67, by the way. Richard had been staying out of the public eye for the last few years. There have been reports that friends are worried, and basically that he's being held hostage by his own shifty housekeeper, allegedly. Okay. But in March, he did a phone interview with the Today Show, just saying that he wanted a break from celebrity and, quote, being the quote saying, the people that surround me are wonderful people and they take care, great care of me. Okay. Having said that, I say this. He's got a piss. No. What I'm going to say is leave the guy alone. I mean, this has really become a relentless thing in Hollywood to harass this guy because he doesn't want to be in the public eye. Now, the police came, and he was psychiatrically observed, I'm sure, as well as physically. What was he dehydrated from? I don't know. Maybe he's having a drinking issue or something. If the man needs help, then help him. You know, but back off of Richard Simmons. I just think it's bad.
Well, I mean, he lived in the public spotlight for so long, and yes, people are really curious about what happens to their celebrities when they disappear.
That's right.
He's been gone for a while now.
That's right. Yes. You know what? I heard Howard Stern talking about this, and, you know, I'm a fan, and Howard had him on all the time. But I agree, man. If he wants to be left alone, leave the dude alone. If something funky is going on, then it needs to be taken care of, and it needs to be addressed. But the authorities show up, they check it out. Leave him alone. You know, not everybody wants to continue to be in the spotlight for the rest of their lives.
But from going to a 5150 to, oh, it's just dehydration, that doesn't really add up. And I think that's why people
dehydrated more inquisitive. What? Right. Well, you know, I mean, it rings my bell when perhaps he was having to. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was sweating to his own oldies. Oh, Lord.
Oh, a little Lord. Too much sweat.
Yes. Oh, Lord. All right, on that note, I just had to get that out of my system. We'll be back with more of the Drex Radio Show and the Late Night Late Show wrap-up on KGOA 10 with a look at traffic. Here's Lee Gray.
Drex on KGOA 10.
Oh, Lord. Good evening, people. Thank you for joining me. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 10 live and local around the world at KGORadio.com as the sun sets all over the Western North American continent. All right. Very nice. So I have a couple silly things to play for you. Taylor Swift surprised a fan Saturday at his wedding in New Jersey and sang Blank Space for the newlyweds. Apparently this is a thing for her, which is kind of cool. She did it because she heard he had danced to the song with his sick mother several months ago in her hospital room not long before she died. So she just shows up. She crashed the wedding reception and did a performance. Let's take a listen.
When you come back, it's time you leave. It's darling, I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So it's going to be forever. You can sing along.
That's nice. Do we have, what's this one?
Oh,
the guests join in. For such a hard time, but I have to tell you, who does that? I mean, just crashing somebody's wedding. How fantastic is that? So over the weekend, we were all busy watching basketball. I have to say, wow, the Warriors were so powerful. I'm just going to say it. I mean, I don't know. I went out to barbecuing at some point because they were just destroying them.
Yeah, those games are really tough to watch, and I don't think if you're a fan of either team, you want a blowout like that. You want to see a close game. Especially in the finals.
I wanted to win, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I was all excited. I was like, ooh, is it 5 o'clock yet? But anyway, we will be preempted when we will.
Well, Wednesday.
They play tomorrow, right? No, they don't play.
No,
they
play
on Wednesday. Okay, so we'll be preempted, but we'll be recording a show anyway via podcast and then on Friday.
Yes.
All right. The other thing that happened this weekend, Miss California. Well, actually, the Miss USA pageant went on. Pageant. Freudian slip. Trump doesn't own it anymore. It was held in Las Vegas last night. Miss D.C., Deshaunna Barber, won the crown. Let's take a listen.
With Hillary Clinton expected
to wait a second. This might need more setup. But Miss Hawaii got the most attention because they asked her a question that most people thought was inappropriate. Oh, good.
The delegate count needed to win the Democratic Party.
Wait a second.
With Hillary Clinton expected to surpass the delegate count needed to win the Democratic Party nomination, my question to you is, if the election were held tomorrow, would you vote Hillary Clinton?
Don't do this to
me.
Oh,
no.
This is the way my show ends every night for the last week and a half.
They really asked her who she was going to vote for.
I know, right? No.
That's terrible.
That is terrible. Oh, it's terrible, everybody. Let me close some things. Oh, 511.org. I won't close that. You Caltrans people let my exit alone. La mouth. No. Yeah. Well, this is Miss Hawaii. Okay. Hell's bells, people. All right. Let me do something ridiculous. Entertain them while I do this.
Computer problems.
Entertain the people.
Oh, man, computer problems.
Prince adopted me and left me $7 million. You'll love this while I do that.
Well, if he adopted you and left you $7 million, you'd be able to fix this computer problem. You'd have an army of people in here working on it right now.
Okay. Two new potential prince heirs are stepping forward to get a piece of the pie, and at least one of them isn't even a blood relation, according to TMZ.
Oh, that's
according
good.
To docs filed in a probate court today, obtained by TMZ, this person, Norman Yates Carthen, says Prince adopted him. He's not specific about when, but he says he is adopted and he's got a will that will make him rich.
You'd think there'd be papers out there that would prove adoption somewhere, and it'd be very easy to come up with those.
Carthens says Prince left him $7 million. He makes no mention of where this mysterious will might be right now, but his sister, Prince's sister, Tyka, and his estate have already said there is no will. But
I'm sure everybody would like to see that will if it exists.
Well, everybody's looking for that will. Okay, now let me see if we can get back to the Miss USA.
Will they find it? That's the question.
Okay, Miss USA had a pageant. And Miss Hawaii got the most attention because they asked her a question that they thought was inappropriate. Play.
With Hillary Clinton expected to surpass the delegate count needed to win the Democratic Party nomination, my question to you is, if the election were held tomorrow, would you vote Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump for president? And why would you choose one over the other?
Oh, yes.
I would get that, right? All I have to say, it doesn't matter what gender. What we need in the United States is someone who represents those of us who don't feel like we have a voice, those of us who want our voices heard. We need a president to push for what is right and push for what America really needs. Thank you.
Okay, then Miss California's famous father, singer turned pageant dad, Gerardo, remember him? Rico Suave. Remember that mess from the 90s? Well, I shouldn't say it was a mess. I thought it was a great hit. Is now a personal valet for his daughter, Nadia, carrying her luggage and getting her coffee and prepping her for competitions. And he tells, that he was helping her brush up on her Q&A, covering topics like immigration and Nadia's Latina heritage. But he thinks the judges unfairly tossed her a major curveball about economic inequality because then she took too long to answer the damn question. Let's take a listen.
One of the biggest challenges facing the United States is social and economic inequality. How do we narrow the gap between the rich and the poor?
What is that music?
Sounds like video game music.
When it comes to social and economic equality, I think that the rich and the poor need to stop being so segregated. I think there is a middle class. I think that the rich need to...
Take a breath.
I think that the rich need to be able to be giving, and I think the poor need to work hard, and I think the middle class need to come together and find an in-between. Thank you.
Thank you. And then the winner was Miss District of Columbia. She answers her question about the military.
Pentagon recently made the decision to open up all combat jobs to women. Now, some have questioned. Yes, great, right? Now, some have questioned whether this has put political correctness over our military's ability to perform at the highest level. What are your thoughts?
As a woman in the United States Army...
Oh, well, that's a good one.
I think it was an amazing job by our government to allow women to integrate into every branch of the military. We are just as tough as men. As a commander of my unit, I'm powerful. I am dedicated. And it is important that we recognize that gender does not limit us in the United States Army.
Nicely done. And she's the winner, Deshauna Barber, Miss District of Columbia. Now, before I split, I have something fun for you. I have screening passes to Finding Dory. That's right. KGOA 10 has a special invitation for you to check out a sneak peek at Disney Pixar's Finding Dory happening at the AMC. Is that Metron?
Metreon. Yeah.
Okay. Metreon, people, in San Francisco on Monday night, June 13th. Is this the newlywed game? What the hell? Caller number 10 right now at 415-808-0810, 415-808-8810 will win a pair of passes to the screening, and passes are furnished by Allied Integrated Marketing. So good luck from your friends at KGOA10.
You know, Drax, we can do two pairs of tickets, so why don't we do caller number 8 and caller number 10?
That would be 810. That would be fabulosa. Okay, I've had enough. Oh, Lord. She's got a piss. I'm out. The John Batchelor Show's next at KGO 810. That's what my parrot used to say. Just joined.